Verse 12, the Bible says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of these hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And then over in verse 20 of the same chapter, it says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree and dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another time we can come out tonight, gather together, worship. Lord, I pray as the preaching goes forth tonight, you have us ready, our hearts and minds, our prayer prepared, and speak to us, Lord, through your word. And we're thankful that you do that. Lord, conform us into your image. Make us more like yourself, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We see a parable. It's actually a parable. It's a true story, which usually are not parables. It's kind of a miracle parable. But the only reason I say it's a parable is because Jesus used this example to teach the disciples an object lesson with a fig tree. The lesson wasn't that he was hungry and didn't get anything to eat and he got mad about it and so he cursed the tree. That wasn't the lesson that he was trying to teach him. But, you know, it was there was probably two or three things at the same time that he was teaching. Number one, we know the barren fig tree certainly pictured the nation of Israel at the time, which were they were a part of. The nation, was favored by God. God had provided great things for that nation, and the nation not only God had provided great things for that nation, but that nation had promised great things to God. They had abundant religious profession. They had scribes, Pharisees. They had priests, elders of the people. They had the temple, and they had the religious things about that—a religious profession, I guess. They were sticklers for the letter of the law. They boasted of being worshipers of the true God. They had the temple of God. They bragged about their heritage that they had. They had Abraham as their father, which they were prone to say about that. But they were like a fig tree that was in full leaf that had no fruit whatsoever. They weren't holy. They weren't just. They weren't true. They weren't faithful towards God. They weren't loving towards their neighbors. And so there was a mass of religious profession, but it was void of spiritual life. And so Jesus, right after that is the story where Jesus went into the temple and overturned the money changers' tables. And he called them they were thieves. He called them a den of thieves, actually. And so their religious worship was dead, formal. Was kind of a dried up, withered thing. And the story of the fig tree certainly illustrated that. So that was the nation of Israel. We look at the church as well, that we're dealing with in the time that we're on earth now. The churches that stood for years have grown in size. And a lot of the church has an outward profession today, the outward leaves. And yet the same thing, a holiness hasn't been maintained. Far as fruits for God, barren and fruitless, only a profession, like the temple at one time where Ichabod was written over the door, which meant the glory of the Lord have departed. And so we see the nation and we see the church. And of course, nations and churches too are made up of people, individual people. And so I think even then he had his disciples with him at that time, and he wanted to speak to them as well as individuals as he does with us. And that's really where we're at tonight, you know, on an individual basis and what I want to talk to you about tonight. I didn't get the notes to Terry, so you just have to remember them or write them down. And the very first point is a fruitless profession, a fruitless profession. You know, when you think about a fig tree, I don't know if you know anything about fig trees. When I was a kid, the only fig tree I remember really being around in my life was the school I went to had a fig tree out on the side, and they'd have figs on them. And the one thing I remembered about them, you know how figs are, when they get ripe, man, them things will fall down. If you step on them, it's like, look out, they smush, and the bees get all over them like wasps. If you wanted to get stung by a wasp, is go over there and hang around with a hang around a fig tree. I don't know what's going on, man. Yeah, it looks like Kathy. Anyway, hopefully everything's all right. She's running back and forth. But, you know, if you wanted to get stung by a bee, you go around there and get around all them figs laying on the ground, and, you know, you're going to get stung by a bee, and there was a lot of those. The only one I remember, but this is how a fig tree grows. What happens on a fig tree, the figs come out, they show up first. When the figs come out, they show up as a little green ball on the end, and what happens, then the leaves start to grow. And when the leaves get all the way out, when the leaves are out, the figs should be ripe and ready. They're ready to go by then. So that's the plan right there. So what it works in the story right here, what it was, if you saw a fig tree with all its leaves out, then you expect to find figs on that tree. That was what you would expect to find. And so that'll help you as you kind of look at this story that he talked about. So one of the odd things about it, it wasn't time. This story's in a couple of the Gospels. It wasn't the time for figs. In other words, there shouldn't really have been any figs and there shouldn't have been any leaves. There shouldn't have been leaves out, but the fact was that they were. So it was kind of an oddity, and it really stuck out. It stuck out more than it normally would because nothing else was having leaves out on it, so they could see it from a long way off. And so everybody presumed that since there's leaves are there, there ought to be some figs. And Jesus says in verse 13, there and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves. So for a long way, Jesus saw that tree that it had leaves on it, and that those leaves meant that something else should have been there. Something else should be there. Once it's in full leaf, there ought to be figs on it. I mean, that's the normal process of the way a tree should grow. And so now we see Christianity today, or say the church today, or individual people that are Christians today, that if we are professing, which is our leaves, that's the picture of the leaves, if we're professing that we know Jesus Christ, and we're professing that we've been born again, and that we're a new creature, that we're saved, and that the Holy Spirit's indwelling in our hearts, then listen, there ought to be something there. It's not just the leaves on the outside, but there's got to be something, some fruit, that illustration there, that comes from the inside. And so you look a lot of times in the Christian profession now, and man, you get down to the church service and everybody's got it all down pat. Hey, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, slapping hands and shaking hands and singing the songs. And we got the big large print edition Bible. You know, it's big. We got our Bibles and we've got all those things, the appearance. We can pray and discuss theology and attend the revival meetings and attend the church meetings. And really, that tree was a freak of nature, and sometimes those people look like a freak of nature as well. But then, like the Pharisees of the day, everything's on the outside. There's nothing on the inside, no fruit whatsoever on the inside. And so, when you think about the Pharisees, they knew what they were talking about religiously, but they didn't have any fruit, spiritually speaking. The fruit, the Spirit of God, for the most part, for most of them, wasn't working in their lives. And so, the tree also, we know this tree, they were traveling down a road. It was able to be seen from the road, so it was in a prominent position or in a place where everybody passed by. And so, listen, if all the professors that were in all the churches turned out to be everything that they professed they were, boy, it would be a red letter day for the church of God. I'm telling you, I mean, it would be, if everybody was what they professed to be, if we were all living the life that we're claiming that a life of Christ, if we were claiming that, boy, it would be a banner day for the churches in the world. But that day, Jesus would have been, if he went over there, if he was, his Bible says that he hungered. Of course, he was a human too, and he went over there and he was hungry, and he went to that tree, he would have been blessed. Anybody would have been blessed. They would have been refreshed if they were, figs are good, they're sweet, man, if you get them right. I mean, so they get over there, and they would have been blessed by it, refreshed along with his disciples, because it was out of season, but there wasn't anything there. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I mean, so they're in season, out of season. Now, my pastor used to say, that means preach when you feel like it. If you don't feel like it, you know, preach the word. When, you know, when it's convenient or when it's not convenient. It's never out of season for God's people to bear fruit. That's the great illustration there. It wouldn't have been out of season on the illustration side for God's people to bear fruit. But this tree didn't have anything. It just claimed it did, but there was really nothing there. And so we see that very first point there we see is that fruitless profession. And then we see the second thing is that the fruit is inspected, fruit inspected. You know, Jesus himself is going to inspect the fruit. It said in our text, it said he's seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves. He came to the tree if haply he might find anything thereon. And said when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. And so he's the one, he went up, after he saw it from afar off, he wanted to come up and he took a closer look to see where the figs were. I believe he walked around and looked around to see if he could see any figs anywhere, and he didn't see any figs. It didn't say it had to have a lot of figs. It didn't have to be like a bumper crop, but he couldn't find any figs on the tree, none whatsoever. Now, he had a right to expect fruit because the tree advertised that it had it. Every fig tree, normal circumstance, when the leaves are out, had figs. Every single one. The oddity was that it had leaves and didn't have any figs. And so he had a right to walk up to that tree and find figs. So the Lord looks around the scene today when an application to us, and he looks around and he sees church going and he sees Bible reading and he may see prayer to some degree or prayer meetings. And if he sees those things, shouldn't he expect upon a closer examination to find fruit? He's seeing something on the outside. See, right now, if the world's going up and down the road, which it is, and it sees, oh, look, there's Larry and Stephanie's car, and there's, fill in the blank with your name. There you are. There you are at the church. You're going in the church. Look at those people. They're going to church. There's our next-door neighbors. They're going to church. They have Bibles. We know that they pray. They should expect to see fruit. They can expect to see fruit. And so Jesus is going to come, and he's going to look for fruit. Well, what kind of fruit would he look for if he's inspecting? If he sees the leaves, if he sees the outward show, you know, I mean, he's got to see something on the inside. He's going to look for fruit of the Spirit. We understand that. He looked for the fruit of the Spirit, real faith. He's going to look for true love. He's going to look for self-denial. He's going to look for fervor in prayer. I mean, he's going to look for something that goes along. I've shared this with you before, but for the sake of those that weren't maybe not here, I remember when I first got saved, and I hadn't been saved very long, and they said, hey, we're going to be having a camp meeting. It was down here in near Princeton, West Virginia, and we were up in Northern Virginia. And they said, this is the first time I ever did anything like this. You know, we took off work. Imagine that, boy. Took off work. And we went down to the camp meeting. It was going to go on during the week. It was one of those where you go to preaching in the morning, like at 10, 11, up to 10 to 12. And then everybody went down to the restaurant, you know, because they're Baptists. And we all ate. And then you went back home and you meditated for a while, you know. And then you got up and you went back down there again for preaching that night. Or you went out to eat. I can't remember how it worked. I think we went to preaching. We go to preaching for a couple more guys would preach. And they had singers down there and music and everything. And then that was over. Everybody went to it was some kind of a restaurant, it wasn't a Golden Corral, but it was something like that, buffet thing. Everybody went in there and it was, hey, brother, this and that. And everybody's all, oh, yeah, we love the Lord. They did all the singing. And I remember they did that song, you know, it was on a Monday when somebody touched me and everybody that got saved on Monday stood up and it was on a Tuesday. And man, you know, you're around there. And I had white shirts. I had nothing but white shirts. I had my tie. I got my hair cut, man. I mean, I looked good, had my hair all brand new haircut, and you know, I was acting all pious and everything. Hey, brother, how you doing, brother? Yes, sir, brother, everybody, brother, 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 sister, so-and-so, yeah, praise the Lord, everybody talked like that all week long. And on the Friday night of the thing, we were down there, and I mean, I looked at myself like, I remember looking around thinking, man, you know, I knew I had to talk like that because everybody else did, right? And I'm thinking to myself, man, I was a brand new Christian. I hadn't been saved very long. And I thought, I mean, this wasn't false humility, it's just the way I thought. I thought, man, I'm probably like the worst Christian here or the least knowledgeable Christian here or the, you know, I'm so far, you know, just got saved and I don't know nothing. Look like these people, man, they know everything, man. They know when to stand, sit, they know it all. I just figured, man, I don't know nothing, you know. And I remember this guy, we had this, they had on a Friday night, they was going to have a big deal on Friday night. It was about like 500-600 people at the thing, 500 people maybe. They were going to have the meeting, women having it all week long, and they were going to have a dinner, you know, and then they had fellowship time like we do. And I remember looking back, and I remember coming up the aisle like, you know, we were standing on this side. It was a big church, and I remember looking at the back. Man, there was this old guy. He had all gnarled up looking hands, man, biggest knotty looking knuckles I ever saw. And you could tell, man, he was like a street guy, you know, from, and this is up in Princeton, ain't like the big city. He was rough looking, weathered, been outside a lot. He was just sitting there. And they have fellowship time. And I remember, man, nobody was shaking the guy's hand. I mean, everybody's, hey, brother, hey, man, you know, God loves God, God, God. And I'm looking at the guy, I was just standing back there by himself. Man, I got convicted about it. I went back there. I made a point. I didn't shake nobody else's hand. I went right by all them people and went back there. I ain't telling you that to brag on me, but it struck me in my heart. I said, well, you know, we're all professing to be all these loving Christians and God and this and that, and I didn't know nothing like what I know now. You know, we were all professing to do that, and here's a person that's on the outside, obviously having a hard time, and he don't look like he fits in with this group, and nobody's reaching out to him, you know, to see. I don't know, maybe he just came in, maybe he thought we were having a meal. He looked like he needed one. He could have had mine if they didn't have enough to go around. I'm sure they did, but, I mean, nobody even going up there saying, hey, how you doing, man, can I pray with you? And I didn't know enough to say, hey, can I pray with you? Do you have any needs? I wasn't far along enough in my Christian walk to ask him that. But I just went back there to shake his hand because I said it kind of galled me that nobody else was out of 500 people in there in the thing, buddy. I mean, I'm telling you what, there's some fruit missing somewhere along the way. You know, people just see somebody that doesn't, they don't kind of fit into their little niche, and they don't dress like they do, and they don't talk like they do, and they don't look like they do. And, you know, he might have been a bath or two short, you know, along the way. But you know what? Still, Jesus died for him too, right? And I mean, I said, you know what? I mean, at least we can go back here and say something to him, you know, shake his hand. I mean, that guy, what the odd thing, I remember when I look back, it was a ways away. Like, I was like where Brian is, and this guy was back there about where Christine is, and there was a whole lot of people in between. But when I looked at that guy, looked me right in the eye, all the way across that thing. I mean, we just made eye contact. I just had to go back there. I went back there and shook his hand, like I say, big old knuckles and things. I don't know what he done for a living, but they were rough right there. I mean, listen, man, that is the fruit, you know, that we see some of the fruit there. Listen, Jesus is not going to look for our words, and he's not going to look for our vows, even though if we make a vow, we better keep it. But he's looking for our fruit, you know, our works. Are we really what we say that we are, that what we claim to be? He's looking for our sincerity. He's looking for inward faith. He's looking for evidence of the indwelling spirit. And I would say that he's looking for outward faith too, because you can't just sit around and say, well, I got faith on the inside if it doesn't work on the outside, right? It's got to be some faith that is in action, you know, faith in action. Love's an action word. Faith is really an action word as well. You know, it's not just, well, I say I have faith. Showing faith by our works, you know. Showing faith by our works. And so, you know, that's what Jesus is going to look for that. And so when Jesus approached the tree, what did he really want? He didn't want leaves. What are you going to do with leaves? Has anybody ever ate a fig leaf? I mean, you know, what do you make out of that? Cabbage-looking thing, you boil it like spinach or something? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can eat it. I don't know. I never heard of it. I've never heard of anything like fig leaf nothing. Huh? You know, out in the country, listen, man, people out in the sticks, and we are out in the sticks, they eat some strange stuff anyway, right? They make stuff out of some other things. You know, I don't know, but I'm just saying, I never heard nothing about any fig leaves, but he didn't want, it says he wanted the fruit. That's what he wanted. He didn't mind the leaves. The leaves said that there was fruit there. Another oddity would have been ripe figs with no leaves. You know, nothing on the outside. I mean, that would go together hand in hand. You wouldn't see ripe figs without the leaves, and you wouldn't see full leaves without the figs. They went together. There's the outward profession's got to match the inward reality and the works that go along with it. And verse 12 said that he hungered right there, that Jesus hungered. You know, when he hung on the cross, Jesus said this. Jesus hung on the cross, he said, I thirst. And I always preach it this way. I know that he thirsted physically because he'd been under a lot, pain, suffering, hot. But he's thirsting spiritually too because of separation from God, God the Father. There. And I believe here he hungered, and I believe it was a hunger. It was a real hunger. Been walking. I don't know what time it was there. But he also hungers from us. He hungers for holiness. He hungers for our love. He hungers for our devotion. He hungers for our adoration, our praise. He hungers for our faithfulness. He hungers for those things from us. He died so that we could have those things. He died that we could have them. And so Jesus, of course, is not mocked. You can't deceive Jesus. There was no, I've used this illustration before. If it says it's an apple tree, and year in and year out, there's no apples on it, somebody's lying, right? I mean, something wrong here. Is something either wrong with it or something's not, if you don't know your tree, so you don't have, you know, there's a lot of trees in the woods. I know what they are and look at their bark and I can kind of figure it out. And there's a couple I'm not real sure about looking at one the other day. But most of the one, Larry, you know how it is. We know what a, you know, white oak looks like and red oak. We know what them trees look like. We got a pretty good idea. But they're, you know, if you didn't know anything about trees, but you know what an apple looks like, and there's a tree with an apple hanging on it, you know it's an apple tree, right? You may not know what kind, but you know it's an apple tree, right? That's an apple tree. But if somebody said, hey, that's an apple tree, and it never had an apple, I don't know about that, you know? Even if the tree could talk, and the tree said, no, I'm an apple tree. Huh? If I'm an apple tree, but it never had no apples, would you believe it? If somebody says, well, I'm saved, brother, I'm saved. I'm a Christian, I'm no doubt about it. I was baptized. No doubt about it. But they never had any fruit of the Spirit. Nah, something. You can't fool the Lord. He knows a fig when he sees one. He knows a fig. He judges not after the appearance, but he judges after the truth. So the figs are going to, or fruit's going to be judged. And then there's a consequence of fruitlessness, a consequence. You know, if there's no leaves, if there's leaves and no figs, that was a lie. The fig tree was saying by its leaves out, saying, hey, here I am, I've got figs. I'm a fig tree, my leaves are out, figs should be here. But you went over there and there wasn't no fig, that tree was lying. It didn't have any figs. It's a lie. And if a man professes faith and then he has no faith, is that not a lie? If somebody says they have faith and they don't have, but they really don't have faith, that's a lie, right? If a man professes repentance but does not repent, isn't that a lie? That's a lie. If we partake of communion and do not discern the Lord's body, isn't that a lie? Like I said, if there's nothing but leaves, it's a lie. To profess Christ and live in sin is a lie. Revelation 21:27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it, speaking about heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. He's inspected the fruit. He already knows. He already knows. And then the Bible says that Jesus cursed the tree or condemned the tree, and Peter mentioned the word a curse there. And you know, all the bleeding hearts of the world say, oh, you know, man, God is love. And if God loves us so much, how could he send somebody to hell? And, you know, and how could he, you know, but here's the thing. God's not only love. God is holy and God is just. I heard the greatest thing on the radio. Maybe I shared it with you guys, and I can't remember if it was on Wednesday night or not. I heard the greatest argument for this with two theologians talking on the radio about it. And the guy said this way, and I'm gonna get it down to simpler terms because it went a long way. But he said this, listen, God is just. And if God allowed a person to live in sin their whole life and never trust Jesus Christ, and allowed that person to live an ungodly life, and they died and he let them to go into heaven, then he would not be just. If God allowed a man to be a murderer his whole life, and he killed and took people's lives, and he never repented, and he never turned to Jesus Christ, and he let that man into heaven, he would not be just, and he couldn't be God. That is the gist of the whole thing. And that's true. He's just, and he's holy. And I believe holiness overrides his love. Because if love overrode holiness, then Jesus would have just, or God would have overlooked our sin without Jesus going to the cross. But because he's holy, he couldn't do it because sin had to be paid for. And so the holiness overrode the love because we know he loved us, but he couldn't overlook our sin because he's holy. That's a greater attribute than love. And he is love in the unexplainable whatever degree you want to put on it. He's love. He is love. Not just that he does love, he is love. But buddy, he's holy too. He's a holy God. And he's a just God as well. And so he looked at that tree, but he cursed that tree. God, Jesus, God in the flesh. Yeah. There's condemnation, man. I mean, listen, it slips into Christianity somehow that people think, oh man, God's just going to let it all go and there's not going to be any consequences. Yes, there is. There's going to be consequences to that. And that tree right there said, I got figs, and it didn't have no figs. And Jesus said, that tree's cursed. And that tree withered up and died. He said, depart, because you know what's going to happen when, I think last week I was preaching about it. And those people 2 weeks ago on the delusional disorder message. And the people that said they were going to enter in, they thought they were going to enter in. And he said, no, you're not going to enter in. And they said, but wait a minute, we've eaten and drunken with you, and we've heard you teach in the streets, and he's going to say, depart. You know why? Because they've been departing their whole life. This is what gets me. Here's another thing. People want to live without God their whole life and then think God's just going to allow them to come and live with him for all eternity. No, you're going to keep on living just like you always lived, apart from God. And it's going to be in hell. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, they didn't want God. Guess what? God's going to give you what you want. If you don't want God, you're going to have it your way, like at Burger King. You're going to have it your way. You're going to live eternity separated from God. You lived your whole life separated from God. Listen, I hate it that people do that. I do. But I don't have a problem believing that that's the way it's going to be. God doesn't even really have to curse them. He didn't have to curse the fig tree. The fig tree was already cursed because it told a lie. It said that I got figs and it didn't have none, and he just kept on letting it be a curse. What good is a fig tree without figs? Tell me that. Have you ever gone into somebody's house and said, oh boy, that's a nice dining room table you got. What kind of wood is that? Fig. You ever seen a fig, that's a fig dining room table right there. What kind of floor? Well, that's a nice wooden floor. What kind of floor is that? I mean, they make them out of bamboo. They make them out of oak and hickory and acacia. I got one out of acacia wood. That's what they made the ark out of. That's what my floor's made out of. You ever heard somebody, that's fig. You could have got fig in y'all's house, Brian. You ever seen fig? Huh? You ever seen? You ever seen fig wood? You can snap that stuff like balsa wood, man. It ain't nothing. Old fig limb, a tree, all the thing. If it dries, it's no good. The wood is not good for anything. How many of you, Larry, when you go out looking for firewood, you say, man, I got to find me a good fig tree to cut down for this winter, man. I'm going to get that cut and dried, and I'm going to stack it up. You ever done that? It ain't no good for nothing. It's not, it's the only thing. Well, I guess if you were Adam and Eve, you could use the leaves. Huh? You could use the leaves. I don't know if you want to dress up like that. But the fig wood, it's not good for nothing. The only thing a fig tree is good for is figs, fruit. What is a Christian good for that doesn't have any fruit? That's a trick question. There's no such thing. Not really. There's going to be something. Might be 30-fold. Might be 60-fold, might be 100-fold. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit got. You take a good old healthy apple tree, I used to use this illustration, and in the spring, you're going to run out there and say, man, I'm going to stop them apples from coming out. Without killing a tree, you can't do it. I mean, you can stun them, you can hurt it, frost and this and that, But I'll tell you what, there might be some old little apples that's going to pop out on there. I mean, what are you going to wrap a Band-Aid around every little bud so, or wrap it up so that you can't stop? The apples are coming out, and if you're really saved, there's going to be some fruit that's just going to come out. Just will. It's just going to come out. And so Jesus didn't have to curse the tree because it went on doing what it was already doing, and it wasn't producing any fruit. And people that live without Christ their whole life will continue on living without Christ the rest of eternity. That's what they're going to get, what they wanted. That's what they wanted. They ran from God. They tried to hide from God. They separated themselves from God, God's people, God's church. And guess what? They're going to keep on living that same way. If they don't turn to Christ, they're going to get exactly what they wanted in life. You know, I think sometimes when we pray, maybe we should pray that God would make us conscious of our own barrenness, our lack of, you know, boy, if somebody had to depend on our fruit to live, the fruit, you know, would they be able to do it? And, you know, if you were a fig tree, I gotta watch too many cartoons. If you were a fig tree, and you were gonna have figs, would you be satisfied with just having just a few little figs, or would your goal be to have a whole lot of real nice figs? I mean, I don't know what a fig tree thinks about. Probably doesn't think at all. I'm just saying though, wouldn't it be? Who would be satisfied? All the other fig trees got a lot of figs, and you just got a couple little scrawny figs. You wouldn't feel very good if you was that fig tree. Now back to reality. You know what? Should we be satisfied with just a little bit of fruit? I mean, if you're 30-fold, shouldn't you shoot for 60? If you're 60-fold Christian, shouldn't you shoot for 100-fold Christian? I mean, shouldn't we? Why should we be satisfied with? How many of you, when you do a job, you like to do it right? How many of you, when you do a job, you know you could have done better? I mean, I'm my own worst critic. When I make something, when I do something, I think, man, I could have done this. That would have been better than that. And I'm not satisfied with where, and that's to a good point. I mean, always striving to do better. You know, why not in Christianity we don't do that? We're not striving to be, you know, better Christians, not feel satisfied. And then here's another thing. Say you think, well, preacher, that message really convicted me. Because I see I don't have very good figs. I don't have very many figs. I don't have very big figs. And truth be known, I got more leaves than I got figs. There's still hope. Aaron had a rod in his hand. And God said, put that rod down. That I don't know how long you've been carrying it. But you know, them old staffs, they walked around. And we're talking about a barren, a dry place anyway. And you walk along with a walking stick. And that thing was dead as 4 o'clock. It probably hadn't had any moisture in it since the last time he waded through a creek or waded through the river, right? It was dead. But you know what? God took that staff and made it bud. And the Bible says it budded. It bore almonds, which are pretty good eating too. Bore almonds because it was God that did it. So you say, well, you know what? I looked at my life and I don't have any fruit. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's still hope for you right there because we're not as dead as that rod of Aaron's, I don't believe. I hope we're not that dead. But listen, lay it before the Lord. Man, listen, and bloom. Buddy, there's hope. And, you know, that's the great thing about God. You know, we got this in this text in our Bible, the nation of Israel, church, us. He was speaking to individual men there that, you know, there's hope for us. I mean, we have that from God. Amen? All right, well, we're going to have an invitation. Wasn't the longest in the world. I'm giving you the holiday preaching message right there. You get out a little bit early and... A little bit, not too much early though. I guess I got started a little bit earlier.